Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and this is You and Me Both. The Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade in June of 2022 has had far-reaching consequences for women's health, bodily autonomy, and even our lives across the United States. Since that decision, wherever the right to reproductive health, including abortion, has been on the ballot of states, voters have turned out in record numbers to protect their rights in places like Kansas, Kentucky, and most recently in Ohio and Virginia. And we can expect to see more of that in 2024. But in the many states where access to abortion was already severely restricted, this is causing an enormous amount of suffering. Because oftentimes, a pregnant woman's health and even her life could be at stake. Later, I'll be talking with Dr. Yashika Robinson, a board-certified OBGYN and the medical director of the Alabama Women's Center in Huntsville, Alabama, about the work she's doing to try to improve outcomes for her patients. But first, I'm talking to someone who's fighting this battle on behalf of his constituents in Illinois. J.B. Pritzker has served as governor of Illinois since 2019. Since taking office, and in fact, as you'll hear from him, since he was a kid, he's understood the importance of supporting reproductive rights. As a result of his leadership, Illinois now offers some of the strongest protections in the country for doctors providing abortion care and for women seeking abortions. I've been impressed by his administration's proactive stance on many issues, from early childhood education to climate change and so much else. But I especially wanted to talk to him about his advocacy around reproductive rights and justice. He and I have been friends a long time, and he was pretty happy to talk to me, too, until he found out that our guests have to wear headphones for the recording. I should also mention that we recorded our conversation before the most recent elections on November 7th.
There she is.
There he is. This is so exciting. How are you?
Well, I have to tell you, I have like a firm rule, which is I never wear headphones or hats because I look like, I mean, I'm immediately like Michael Dukakis in The Tank, you know, with anything that I put on my head. So I just want you to know you're the only person that I would do this with.
I am so flattered, and I won't tell a soul, I promise. Welcome to the show, Governor Pritzker. I could talk to you about a million things. I'm so impressed with the job that you are doing in my birth state of Illinois. But today I want to talk to you about abortion rights in the state you govern and across the United States. And let's start by setting the scene just a little bit for our listeners. Illinois currently protects abortion rights until 24 weeks, including Medicaid coverage and requiring private insurance to cover abortions. But it is surrounded by states where abortion is much more restricted or literally almost entirely banned. How difficult was it for you as governor to pass the expansive legislation that you did and making Illinois this outlier in much of the country?
Well, we have some terrific champions of reproductive rights who've been here for many years fighting the fight. So I don't want to make this sound at all like, well, I became governor and all of a sudden we went at the task of protecting women's health. But there was still a lot to do when I became governor. Let me give you a little bit of the history, though. We had already passed a law that removed all the triggers that existed in Illinois law that would have, if Roe v. Wade had been overturned, which at the time it had not been, if it had been, we would have become an anti-choice state and reverted to the old laws. In fact, we had the most restrictive anti-choice laws in the nation that were lurking behind the pro-choice laws that would have been tossed out. So back in 2018, when I was just a candidate, the legislature passed a law and put it on the governor's desk. Republican governor who said he was pro-choice, but also was going into an election. And so he debated publicly like Hamlet, you know, wondering, you know, what he should do. And finally, with a lot of pressure, and I was among the people pressuring him, he signed the bill. So that's terrific. But I think everybody understood that this is not somebody who's going to be protecting your rights in an aggressive way. So anyway, so he lost. I became governor. And then we passed probably the most important and biggest piece of legislation that any state can pass, and that's a Reproductive Health Act,
right,
where we really said, we enshrined into law in Illinois that we're going to protect a woman's right to make her own decisions about her own body with her doctor. And that is now the law of the state of Illinois. Now, we've done a number of things since then to make sure that we're expanding availability of abortion medication, availability of procedures, and helping our abortion clinics to expand their capabilities, partly because all the states around us since Dobbs have essentially restricted or eliminated a woman's right to choose. So we have thousands and thousands of women who are coming across the border just from the neighboring states, mm-hmm. and then from as far away as Texas and Tennessee to Illinois, because we protect women here. And we also provide logistics and support for women who, remember, when Dobbs was decided, this really took away a woman's right to choose for the most vulnerable women,
exactly.
but not for wealthy women. Wealthy women could figure this out. But if you're truly vulnerable, you need a lot of help if you're in a state that has taken away your rights. So we provide that kind of help in Illinois because we know that you don't know where you're going to stay overnight. Is there somebody who could support your effort to provide you with the dollars necessary just to have a hotel room? And you need somebody friendly on the other end of a phone line before you would ever make that journey. And know that we're going to protect all the information about you when you come to Illinois so that no other state that's criminalized abortion can come after you. So that's a lot that we've done since then. And I know that's a long-winded answer to your question, but very proud of the work that we've done. And there's more to do. And unfortunately, this is a battle that we need to take and go national with because there are just too many states where women can't access what are fundamental rights.
I absolutely am curious about how this became such an issue of intense concern to you. You said you went to your first pro-choice rally in elementary school. What do you remember about that experience?
Well, I'll be honest. My mother was an activist.
Yes.
And somebody who cared deeply about reproductive rights and LGBTQ rights. And so I was raised in that environment. My father, too, but he passed away when I was very young. But my mother, after my father passed away, and I was the youngest of three children. My older siblings were, you know, in high school or going into high school. So I was the one who, you know, when my mother was going to all of these political rallies or supporting candidates or marching for reproductive rights, you know, she couldn't leave me home alone. And so she would bring me along with her. So, you know, she may have had the intent of really teaching me, but it may also just have been, hey, there's nobody to watch you, so you're coming along. But as time went on, you know, it became very natural for me just to, you know, to stand up and express my belief in those rights. And I how could you possibly live in a world where people would restrict other people's rights like that? So, yeah, that's kind of how it started. And then my mother passed away when I was 17, so it was just before I went to college. So I feel like I was picking up where she left off. Mm-hmm. And my whole life, in a way, and certainly when I became governor, I have kind of felt like her spirit is still there with me as I approach these issues and people who are, you know, imposed upon by, you know, right-wing zealots and trying to take their rights away, that I have to be as strong and vigorous in defense of those rights as she was.
Oh, that's such a great story. And you are continuing her legacy in your public service. You know, when I think about where we are, this didn't happen by accident. I mean, Roe v. Wade was decided in 1973. And literally from the moment it was, there has been an ongoing effort by a coalition, a political and religious coalition, to make the issue of reproductive rights into an electoral issue, a divisive electoral issue. And they've worked at it very hard for 50 years. And I think a lot of our listeners don't understand this because so many people were shocked when Roe was overturned in the Dobbs decision. And yet many of us, you and me included, were saying this is their plan. They want to overturn reproductive rights as a national issue. But when you were both in business and then beginning your political career and in between supporting a lot of people, including me, who were running for office, how did you see this issue developing? And what did you think about the game plan from the other side?
Well, you know, this is one of these issues that really always came down to who was elected president.
Right.
Because it's the Supreme Court ultimately that had the ability to either strengthen Roe v. Wade or to take it away. And unfortunately, as we all saw, Donald Trump was able to appoint three justices, and all of them anti-choice. And there's no doubt he vetted them for that issue, as he had pledged to his right-wing backers. So, you know, for me, it was not much of a surprise. I think we all understood that's what was going to happen. But when it was leaked, the decision, immediately we went about preparing. How were we going to react in Illinois? What were the the impacts on the people of Illinois? Unfortunately, the Dobbs decision, and particularly the Clarence Thomas dissent, I think highlighted for everyone and for me that, oh, this is going to go much further than just reproductive rights.
Yes.
This is going to be about taking away your right and all of our right to marry who we want to marry. You know, how we're going to live our lives. Are we going to have the ability to use contraception and make decisions, you know, about reproduction broadly? And see, look at what's happened. you know, people think of abortion as something that a single woman who's in a tough situation decides to do because she doesn't feel like she has any other choices. That's certainly the case for some. But a lot of it is a medical decision by a doctor with a patient and her spouse about, you know, the challenge is what, you know, the actual medical situation is for them and the threat to their lives or the situation of the fetus. And so, you know, the fact that Dobbs essentially opened up the possibility now that we would stop a woman from, you know, who has an ectopic pregnancy from, you know, getting the medical care that she needs. So that's just one effect, right? But look at Idaho, just to give you an example of maybe an unintended effect. Now they've essentially criminalized abortion in Idaho. OBGYNs in Idaho are getting up and leaving because they're afraid for their practice, for their malpractice insurance, for their lives. And it's easier to go to a state like Illinois where we're going to protect them. So guess what's happening in Idaho? If you're having a baby, and by the way, it could be perfectly healthy, it's hard to find an OBGYN.
Exactly, right.
Or a place to go, a hospital where you can give birth. So, I mean, this is now upon us. And I think it's something that we should be hyper aware of, the fact that what the Republicans and the right wing has been trying to do seemed like it was just about maybe restricting the number of weeks, you know, in which you could make the decision to have an abortion. But actually, it's about how a woman is going to live her life.
Exactly.
How a family is going to make decisions about their future. So I'm very concerned, deeply concerned. I think this is perhaps the most important issue, and we certainly can talk about international relations and all the other challenges that we're all facing domestically, but this is the issue that's the most personal one that I think most people are going to be voting on in 2024.
We're taking a quick break. Stay with us.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
You've just started a nonprofit called Think Big America that focuses on abortion rights ballot measures in other states. Tell us a little bit about that. What is your plan? How are you going to carry that out?
Well, as you know, I this is an issue, you know, more broadly that I've been involved with nationally wherever I could, as I could. So I think we all saw something very unusual happen in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that, as it turns out, that when people really have a choice and opportunity to vote on this issue, that many people, Republicans included, don't want the government making this decision for women. Mm-hmm. And that's what the roughly 60-40 outcome in Kansas in favor of protecting women's reproductive rights, meant. And so, you know, I looked at that and I was a supporter of that effort personally and said, wow, there are opportunities for us to turn the tide state by state. It's more challenging than just doing it across the country, but the Congress does not look like we're going to be able to get that done for now. And so there are referenda like the one in Ohio, Nevada, Arizona, where there are varying referenda for constitutional amendments that would protect reproductive rights. And so I created a Think Big America, which is a 501c4, to go and help push those referenda, to help educate the public. And to be clear, working with the local organizations, it's not like we're parachuting in and, you know, and just throwing a message up on television or something. You know, each state is a little bit different, right? Each of the populations a little bit different in how you address the issue. And frankly, the referenda themselves are different. So that's what Think Big America is really all about, is supporting abortion rights, women's health in all 50 states, but wherever there are real opportunities like today in Ohio, Nevada, and Arizona, and we're looking at other states as well.
Do you think that your Republican colleagues have been surprised by the political fallout? It's like the dog who caught the car. They're not sure what to do with it.
Such a great expression to describe it, because that's exactly what I think happened. I think that they fight to get to where they are now, and they realize this is hurting us politically. This is not what the majority of voters in my state actually believe. And so I've got to go, you know, do something to make it seem like I'm not as draconian as my previous position might have seemed. So many of them, you know, as you can see, there's a, you know, plethora of ideas that have been put for how many weeks, you know, what should the laws be? And, you know, it's always been counter to what had been conservative Republican philosophy to be all about taking away a woman's freedom to choose.
And having the government come in and tell you what you can or can't do.
Exactly. I mean, it's so counter to what they, you know, it's like the discussion, you know, about they're pro-life, but, oh, they're for the death penalty. So I really think they have been surprised.
Yeah. Well, do you think the Republican Party will have to reconsider its stance as it goes into the, you know, the 2024 election season?
It already is, as you know. There were people who said no abortion, even cases of rape or incest. And then you have these same people coming out and saying, well, maybe 15 weeks, maybe 12 weeks, maybe 6 weeks, you know, because they're all searching for, you know, where is that middle ground where I can retain my conservative anti-choice backers and not, you know, push away all the others. And yeah, so they are reconsidering, trying to figure it out. But the truth is that party is controlled by, at the very core, people who essentially do not want women to have any choices.
Absolutely. And, you know, the draconian measures that some have supported now are coming home to roost. As you rightly pointed out, women whose pregnancy has caused very serious, you know, health challenges to them because of, you know, some condition that develops, like an ectopic pregnancy, or maybe sepsis, or they learn that, you know, the child won't live long, or there may be a heartbeat, but there's no brain development. And I mean, these horrible, wrenching, personal decisions being thrust into the public arena, legislators deciding whether or not you live or die, or how sick you have to be. The sepsis has to set in before you're going to get treatment in the local hospital in Texas, as happened with one woman. Or you have to carry this fetus to term, despite the fact knowing that it will die shortly after, so you have to prolong your and its agony. I mean, it's horrific. It's the handmaid's tale, Governor. It is not just about reproductive rights, but about women's autonomy, women's independence, women's equality. And that's what makes it so dangerous. And we have to turn the tide against that. And I so appreciate, you know, you're recognizing it, that, yeah, it's a big issue, reproductive rights, but it's part of a much larger worldview that some on the Republican side would like to impose on the rest of us.
Well, and you know, you were talking about the situations that are, you know, in a family that's just trying to have a child. Let's also talk about the, you know, the 10-year-old who was raped, who had to cross over two borders in order to get to a place where they could actually have an abortion. No parent wants that 10-year-old child to carry a rapist's baby. You know, that abortion, you know, ought to be available anywhere. And I just the unintended consequences, as you said earlier, just are, you know, long and not fully understood even now. It's also, again, counter to everything that the former Republican Party, before it became a MAGA Republican Party, believed. There were anti-choice, you know, Republicans, but I'm just saying, if you're a conservative, your essential belief is that, you know, the government shouldn't be interfering with your mm-hmm. personal choices, mm-hmm. and yeah. yet this is all they're doing now.
So for our listeners, Governor, you know, what can they do to protect and expand access to the full range of reproductive rights? If they're living in a state like yours, maybe they feel like, oh, okay, we're going to be fine. But it really matters who they elect to the state legislature. It really matters who they send to Congress, even from a blue state like Illinois. What would you tell all of our listeners to do in their own ways to try to protect reproductive rights?
Well, first of all, have faith. You know, Dobbs happened, but there will be another endeavor to counter it. And at the federal level, it ought to be a national abortion mm-hmm. rights law. But in your own home state, even if you're in an anti-choice state, you know, I can just tell you, for many, many, many years, there were gun safety advocates, just to give you an example of another issue where many people in some states felt like they were all alone and couldn't get anything done through their state legislature. Here in Illinois, that was the case. You know, we always had the NRA here in Illinois fighting against any kind of gun safety mm-hmm. legislation. And after years, but, you know, faith that lots of people put in, including myself. You know, we have universal background checks. Yeah. We have banned assault weapons and so on. And I give you those examples because, you know, even if it feels like you live in a state where everybody around you, it seems like they're anti-choice, the truth is you can educate people. And very importantly, vote, vote, vote.
1,000%. And don't ever, ever get complacent about your vote. We have to elect people like yourself, Governor, who could take on the NRA, take on gun violence, expand reproductive rights, two of the hottest button issues in American politics. You just got up every day and said, we're going to make it safer for the people of Illinois. And then you got results. But you got results because you had a legislature you could work with, and you got results because you had, you know, that kind of, you know, support in the state.
And not every Democrat is, you know, is fully pro-choice. Not every Democrat is fully pro-gun safety. But, you know, there are enough and enough, you know, understanding of the issue that you can get it done. So you can, you know, progress can be made, especially when I think people understand that their electoral future is at stake.
Exactly. And their personal rights, their choices, their freedoms are at stake. And I couldn't be, you know, more adamant about that coming up to the 2024 election. And you're going to be hosting the Democratic convention in Chicago. And I'm excited about that. But I'm especially excited, Governor, by your leadership and by your vision and by your tenacity and your results. Thank you very, very much for talking with me today.
Thank you, Hillary. I admire you so much, and thank you. The compliment is really taken to heart.
Thanks, JV. For more information on Governor Pritzker's work to bolster reproductive health access and to combat extremism throughout our country, go to thinkbigamerica.com. While Governor Pritzker is tackling the reproductive health crisis at a policy level, my next guest is someone on the front lines, providing obstetric and gynecological care for her patients at the Alabama Women's Center for over a decade. During that time, she and other Alabama healthcare providers have faced an onslaught of regulations from the state legislature and the Alabama Department of Health that have absolutely nothing to do with practicing medicine or protecting patients, but everything to do with promoting their anti-choice agenda. She and her staff have faced ongoing threats and harassment just for doing their jobs. Since the Dobbs decision overturned the federal right to abortion care, Dr. Robinson no longer performs abortions in her state, which has one of the strictest bans in the country. But she hasn't walked away or given up on her patients. In fact, she's now in the process of opening Alabama's first birthing center to give patients more options during pregnancy and delivery. But even these efforts to improve outcomes in a state which has such high rates of infant and maternal mortality have been met with resistance from the Alabama Department of Public Health. I really admire Dr. Robinson's tireless work to provide a high standard of care to all of her patients, despite the obstacles she faces. And I was delighted to have the chance to speak with her. I began by asking her to tell me about her clinic and what happens there on a typical day.
I am the owner of Alabama Women's Wellness Center, PC. It's a private obstetrics and gynecology practice here in Huntsville, Alabama. We are a small practice. There is two physician providers in that practice, and we do everything, the full gamut of women's health care. So we deliver babies, and up until June of last year, we were also performing all of the abortion services here in North Alabama, but we had patients at the time that was traveling here from as far away as Texas when Roe was overturned in June. We also were providing training. So we were training residents and also fellows. We also train midwives in our facility, and we were training doulas in our facility. As far as what my typical day looks like, I'm still doing all of those things except abortion care. We are not providing any abortion services at this time. We're still delivering lots of babies. We're still doing all of the advocacy work that we were doing before, trying to make sure that our patients have access to everything that other states have and even more, just so that they can really exercise their full autonomy and be able to access the resources that are best for them.
Maybe, Doctor, you could describe for our listeners, why do you believe that abortion care is part of the wider services that should be available for women when it comes to reproductive health?
I mean, abortion care is one of those things that, you know, as a women's health service provider, it's part of our training, it's part of our scope of practice. When you know that people are going to need different things during pregnancy, as a women's health provider, abortion services is one of those. People are going to have babies, they're going to have miscarriages, and sometimes they may need to choose abortion for various reasons.
In fact, you took that explanation to Congress because you testified in the weeks after the Dobbs decision was leaked, but before it was formally enacted, about the importance of safe and legal abortion access. That must have been a stressful experience, testifying before Congress. How did you find that?
It was a very stressful experience. I never thought that as a physician that I would end up being considered a leader and an advocate in this area, but I take my responsibilities to my patients very seriously. And when you understand how important having access to the full spectrum of options is, then despite the fear that I had, I really felt that it was important for me to step outside of that and do what was best for my patients.
Well, that's spoken like a true physician who understands her obligations to care for the people who seek her expertise. And in fact, you do not come from a family of doctors. And on paper, one might say, wow, how did she become a doctor? Could you talk about what led you to do this work and, you know, some of the obstacles you yourself had to overcome in order to be this very strong defender of your patients and their right to health care?
You're right. I didn't come from a family of doctors, but I think that my journey to becoming a physician is still deeply rooted in my family and my upbringing. I often tell my children now, you know, I repeat what my mom said to me, if you're going to do something, do it right or don't do it at all. And So I was a teen mom. I made the decision that I wanted to become a healthcare provider following just the experience that I had as a teen mom, some of the people that I encountered. And I know how much negative stigma there is around teen pregnancy. And then I was that girl. But the healthcare providers that cared for me, they encouraged me. Despite the fact that there were naysayers, they still treated me with respect. And they still told me that I could achieve my dreams. And that made a difference to me. And so I made the decision that I wanted to do that and be that person for somebody else.
That's terrific. Well, you know, you have consistently advocated for your patients. You know, many of them are young Black women. They are, you know, coming to you for the care and support they need. You want to make sure that they get that, they're safe, they're respected. But how are the young women, really women of all ages, but particularly young women, feeling about, you know, what's going on now in Alabama and so many other states around the country where, you know, they are denied the full range of care and services that had been provided before?
I will tell you, my patient population, the majority of the people I care for are people of color. The majority of our patients are also low income, and many of them do receive their healthcare services through Medicaid. We do know that when services become scarce, when they're difficult to access, those are the people, the most vulnerable people are the ones that suffer the most. Universally, my patients express fear. Many of them are very, very confused. Some are angry and frustrated. I mean, this is just a really devastating situation that we've been put in this area. And it's really unfortunate that people didn't realize how much it was going to affect them until it happened and it was too late.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a very sad but accurate observation. A lot of people did not believe it would ever happen. And, you know, we know that maternal mortality rates are higher nationwide for Black women than for white women. We know that in many parts of the South, infant mortality rates are much higher than they are elsewhere. How have you seen that play out in your own practice?
Alabama right now is in the middle of a maternal health crisis. You know, 37% of the counties here in Alabama are what we call maternity deserts. That means that they do not have providers who are able to provide prenatal care and delivery services. And this is particularly devastating for the patients that I care for. Like I said, many of my patients are people of color and they are low income. Being able to access abortion care, having access to quality maternity care, all of this can make the difference between life and death, whether they end up dying from pregnancy or complications of childbirth.
This is what I find so frustrating because you're absolutely right, and you're describing a reality that we are seeing across the country. And it's heartbreaking that we don't have the best prenatal, the best labor and delivery, the best post-birth care in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we should have. That's what every person deserves in terms of the quality of health care. And I know that's one of the reasons why you're trying to open a birth center. What does that mean to you and to the community to have that kind of service available?
What we are working to do right now is to open up the first freestanding birth center in North Alabama. And that is a service that our community does not have access to. We don't have birth centers in Alabama, but there are a lot of good studies that show that when patients are able to access midwifery-led care, that it can improve outcomes. And we also know that in maternity health care deserts, midwives can bring a lot of value. And that's going to be one of the answers to these rural areas that don't have hospitals that currently provide obstetrical services. I mean, I'm not in a rural area. I'm about an hour and 15 minutes from Birmingham, Alabama, which is a very large city here in Alabama. And we have two more hospitals that just announced that this month they will shut down their delivery services.
Ah.
We'll be right back.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
You know, you would think everyone could get behind birth centers, places where women could go to have safe, healthy deliveries that would improve the outcome for them and their babies. But in fact, I heard that the Alabama Department of Health has gone to great lengths to block your and others' efforts to open birth centers. How do you make sense of that?
There is no way to make sense of what just does not make sense. The only thing that I see is that this is just another area of control where the people in power are exercising their control over women's reproductive health choices, where people who are pregnant are not able, once again, to make decisions about what's best for them based off of their values, their resources, their desires, and their belief system.
Well, I certainly agree with that. I have to ask you, despite everything you've gone through and how you've had to really just hold yourself together to keep going, to do what you know is needed, what gives you hope at this current time?
What gives me hope is knowing that there are people out there that care, that have not written the state of Alabama off. We have a great team of attorneys that was able to come and help us in our efforts to be able to get the birth center open. That helps to keep my head in the game. My patients, they also inspire me. I mean, I do ask myself on some days, like, what am I doing? This is crazy. Like, everything that you do, everything should not be a struggle. But when people come through my doors and they are asking me, when is the birth center going to open? It makes it hard for me to give up and just be like, you know what, this is not worth doing it, because I really care about them. And then when you know what the studies show, when you know that the data says that this will improve outcomes for women that look like me, that makes a big difference to me. It makes me want to work harder and continue to do it, even though there are lots of days that are very hard.
Well, there are many of us, and after this episode runs, there will be many, many more, Doctor, who are on your side, encouraging you. So grateful that you haven't given up, that you're still there in the arena, doing everything you can to provide quality, affordable, accessible care to your patients. Dr. Robinson, I'm so grateful to you and so admiring of your dedication to do what you know is right for your patients. And I just wish you and your family the very, very best going forward.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
If you'd like to support the important work Dr. Robinson is doing, go to alabamabirthcenter.com for more information and links to donate. When I think about the state of women's reproductive rights in this country and the backslide we've experienced, I get motivated to do something about it. Because we can't give up, not with people like Dr. Robinson and Governor Pritzker and so many others who are out there doing whatever they can. So please get involved, whether it's fighting to keep hospitals and OBGYN services open, working to get abortion protections on ballots in your states, or using the power of your vote in November to ensure that we elect leaders who will fight for women and our reproductive rights. And if you or someone you know is seeking reproductive health care, including abortion care, call the National Abortion Hotline at 1-800-772-9100 or check out the website Plan C. It's an excellent online resource that provides state-by-state information. And remember, abortion care is health care, and it will be on every ballot in the upcoming elections because of who we are voting to elect. So let's keep going. Let's elect people who will fight for reproductive justice and give women the full reproductive rights we are entitled to. You and Me Both is brought to you by iHeart Podcasts. We're produced by Julie Subrin, Kathleen Russo, and Rob Russo, with help from Huma Abedin, Oscar Flores, Lindsay Hoffman, Sarah Horowitz, Laura Olin, Lona Valmoro, and Lily Weber. Our engineer is Zach McNeese, and the original music is by Forrest Gray. If you like You and Me Both, tell someone else about it. And if you're not already a subscriber, what are you waiting for? You can subscribe to You and Me Both on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.